Will, please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In this world, in this flesh, as I walk throughout this earthly walk, I like assurance. If I'm making a financial investment, I'm not a gambler. I want some assurance of what's going to happen. If I'm buying a car, I want a good confidence that it's going to last me a while. It's going to be a good one, not be breaking down all the time. If someone I know is going to have a surgery, I want to know those surgeons went to medical school. That may sound silly, but I want to make sure. I want some assurances. I want to know what's more than likely going to happen. I want some assurances and things. Do you? We want those things, don't we? Spiritually, I need assurance. The sin that I am, what I am, is nothing but doubt and unbelief. It's what I walk this world in. But I want to know some things. I do know that Christ died for an elect people. I want to know that I'm one of those people, that I'm one of His. I do know that everyone that He died for will have eternal life in Him. I want to know, am I going to be one to be conformed to the image of Him? Am I going to be made in His likeness, be kept forever in Him? I need to know those things. There was a man I knew once, a believer, and he come into some trouble, and he praised the Lord for it. And he said, that's fine. He said, Lord sent this trial to me. He loves me. It's for my good. And he sent some more hardship to him. And he said, that's all right. Lord's taken care of. It's for His glory, my good. That's fine. And then it come time to him to die. And he says, I have a confidence. I have a confidence in Christ. He's all my righteousness. I got to go into eternity that way. And as a member of his family said, I want to know who he knows. He told me that. He said, I wish I knew the God that he knew. So I know where you can hear about him. Wouldn't that be something? I wish the Lord give me the grace to walk through this earth when all these trials take place and all this heartache and sorrow is going on around us. Everything he sends. That somebody say, you know what? I wish I knew the God that man knows. I wish He'd give me that. I want the assurance of that. But 18 times, 27 times in 1 John, John uses the word know. K-N-O-W. And 18 times, he's writing to the children of God. And he tells us what we know. Not what we think. Not what might be, what could be. We know. We know. He says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We believe on Christ and love our brethren. Another spot he said, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Believers know that. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We're going to have some assurance. We're going to know these things. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life. We see there in 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We looked at that last week. Cain and Abel. How the love in them was shown in their action. Cain came to God with a sacrifice that had no blood. Because he didn't know of the blood. He was not aware of that. The Lord hadn't revealed Himself to him. Abel came with blood. He said, if I'm to live, someone else has to die. Those are the actions the Lord gave. And John tells us there, be not alarmed that the world hates you because of this. Don't let it get you down. Why not? It's hard not to be sad if the whole world hates you. Why shouldn't we be sad? Look here in verse 14, he continues on. Don't be sad because we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Something a believer knows that gives them assurance is right here. And this will be our three divisions. Here are 3 points for tonight. We know we were dead spiritually. We know we are made alive in Christ. We know that we're alive. Something happened. We ain't like we were. Something happened. We went from that death to life. And we know we love our brethren. We know those things. First, our first point is going to be spiritual death. John says, we know we have passed from death. Those alive in Christ were spiritually dead before we were given spiritual life. I was physically alive. I was alive to myself. I was alive to the things of this world. I was alive to religion. But I was dead spiritually. I thought I was alive spiritually, but I was dead. If I were alive spiritually, I would have known that I was dead before. I want to be very basic and very repetitive tonight. We're going to turn to a lot of scripture. It'll keep us good and awake for it. But those that have been born again, those that are already been made alive, I pray and I'm confident that you're going to leave here tonight with assurance. You're going to be looking to Christ and you're going to leave here filled up. I pray it's the case. And those that haven't known Him yet, haven't come to Him, you haven't known what that body of this death that Paul spoke of in Romans 7. Hear me. Pay close attention. Listen to me. All of mankind born of Adam is spiritually dead. But the children of God, Christ's sheep, were given eyes to see that death, to see what we are. We're given hearts to understand in ourselves is nothing but death, and that's what we deserve. Fully and completely, we deserve eternal death. Eternal damnation. But what is a spiritual death? This is one of the hardest things to put into words. I can't convey this to someone. I can put it into words, but I can't convey it so they understand it. So they have it and they know it in their heart. We have a hard time because we walk around this earth. I'm standing here breathing oxygen. If I pinch myself, it hurts. I know I'm alive physically. But I don't know I'm dead on the inside. We're physically alive. And we're confident in our physical life that we're spiritually alive. But what are the attributes? What are some of the attributes of someone that's spiritually dead? We turn into Romans chapter 10. Went too far. Romans chapter 10. Someone that is spiritually dead does not know the living God of the Bible. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're ignorant of His holiness. Ignorant of His righteousness. To be spiritually dead is to be ignorant of God's holiness. Now, man can be spiritually dead and still have a zeal for God. He can be dead and have an interest in God. He can be enthusiastic. Ooh, I'm excited about this. Oh, I like going to church. I want to read my Bible more. And be dead as a doornail. Every person born to this world has a conscience. We know there's a God. Mentally and emotionally, everyone born of Adam is religious. We want to worship something, and we make something up if we can't find something worth that's already made up. There's some form of religion in each of us from birth, and that's the source of a false God, us. The Lord told David there in Psalm 50, He said, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. You thought I was like you. He ain't. He ain't like us. We've read before there in Psalm 115, it says, their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. We make what we know. It's all we know is ourselves. Natural man makes something that's like him. Spiritually dead men and women make gods that try, because we try. They make gods that want to do stuff, because we want to do stuff. Make God that wishes for things, because we wish for things, but they're dead. Those that make gods like themselves are just as spiritually dead as the gods that they make. Dead. Dead men and women do not have a true thirst for God's mercy because they do not know that they are in sin. Someone that's spiritually dead does not know the God of the Bible, and they do not know about sin and what God's Word says about it. What the holy God sees sin as. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. We have an awareness of right and wrong from birth, but no knowledge of true sin. If we don't know what happened in the garden, we don't need to hear about what happened on the cross. Without that knowledge of sin, we have no desire and we see no need for Christ. We have to know what we are. He has to reveal that to us. We're alive mentally. We're alive emotionally enough to know that we're not perfect. I get tired of seeing that. People say, well, we know no one's perfect. Ain't that the truth? No, we're not perfect. But we don't know our guilt and our need of a Savior. To possess a need to be saved, you must be without ability. If you have some ability, then you just need help. You don't need saved. Need somebody to help you. Look here at Romans 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, who's he talking about? The pagans. Somebody that didn't grow up with a tabernacle. They didn't grow up with a priest. They didn't have any of those religious things. These are just heathens, wild men and women. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. It says that one over there, I'm not as bad as they are. I would never act like that. Ooh, I would never say that to my children. Oh, I would never let my parents do that, whatever. Would let my boss talk to me that way. They're accusing or they're excusing. Well, it's okay that I did this. Well, I got a good reason for acting that way. The natural man has an awareness of right and wrong. We have standards to live by. But when someone that is spiritually dead has no true understanding of sin against that holy God. We know right and wrong, but we don't know what sin is. Someone that's spiritually dead does not know God, they don't understand what sin truly is, and they do not have a desire for the holiness of Christ, but they have a desire for their own holiness, their own righteousness, something they can do. We was there in Romans 10 a second ago. Let's turn back there. Romans 10. We'll start back at verse 1. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If we were not dead in our nature, we would know that that fig leaf apron that we made wasn't doing any good. We would know that the robe of righteousness we're trying to put on ain't going to work. But we're dead. We don't know any better. We would be ashamed of our attempts at being holy. But someone that's spiritually dead is comfortable in their own garments of righteousness. They won't be ashamed to say, look how good I look. I did a good job today. Oh, I read the scriptures today. They're happy with their piety and how good they are. Why? Why would they be so happy with that righteousness? They're full of pride. Someone that's spiritually dead is filled with pride. God said, these are the seven things I hate. First thing's pride, isn't it? Proud look. Solomon told us, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride's a dangerous thing. Someone that's spiritually dead doesn't know God. They don't understand what sin is. They don't have a desire to know the holiness of Christ, what His holiness and righteousness is. It's because of our pride. We don't want to see His. We're proud of our own righteousness. And they are without true repentance and sorrow, and they do not truly pray. Let me turn over to Luke 18. Some men will be brought to an understanding to see how God could be just and a justifier. Some people will be given life and they'll say, how can God be holy and put away the sins of someone that's not holy? A dead man don't care. I don't care how God could be just and justifier. I just want to get to heaven. That's all they want. They want that end state. How could this be? Something had to happen, didn't it? If we don't know the God of the Bible, if we don't know about our sin nature, what we are in our heart, we have no concern for His righteousness, we're filled with pride, we can't pray. Natural man says, well, I pray all the time. You don't know who you're praying to. You want to pray to be seen of men. In the flesh, we pray. We say a lot of words. We're seen for our much speaking, but we do not submit to Almighty God. That's what prayer is. We submit to Him. Come bow, Lord, your way. Look here in Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee. Well, that sounds like everybody else prays. That sounds good. He said he thanks God. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust. He's saying he's none of these things. He's not an adulterer, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Look at how good I am. Look at my fig leaf garments. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's prayer. Mercy pickers. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Have your way, Lord. Our Master says there, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That pride goes away, taken from us. But if we're dead, we're nothing but pride. And finally, the spiritually dead are without a genuine love for Christ and His people. Back there in our text, 1 John 3:14. John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Who's our brethren? Well, it starts with our elder brother, the firstborn among many nations. If we love Christ, we love our brethren. If we don't love our brethren, we don't love Him. If we don't love Him, we can't love our brethren. We abideth in death. Those are sad things, aren't they? Spiritual death's not a pleasant thing. But we know. John tells us there, but we know we've passed from death unto life. We know we were those things. Something changed. Something happened. If I went from one town to another, I know that I'm not in that first town anymore, and I know I'm somewhere else. I broke that down and I got to thinking, one time, Cass, I'll stand at your house. And I woke up and it's still dark out. And I thought I was in New Jersey. You ever done that? Woke up in a motel. Not remember where you are. You don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, wait a second. That ain't my alarm clock. That ain't the side of the bed the windows are on. Something happened. I was there, I'm here now. We passed from death to life. Something happened. So what's this spiritual life? What changed after that new birth? Something happened. What's the things that changed? Those that are alive spiritually know the living God of the Bible. We know Him. Our Master told us in John 17, said, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, whom Thou hast sent. We know Him. We have eternal life. Turn over to John chapter 10. How are we going to get this eternal life? Now, the eternal life He's speaking of isn't the quantity, it's the quality. All souls are going to be alive forever. Some will have eternal life in Christ, others will have eternal damnation. They'll suffer the torments of hell for eternity. Our souls will be alive forever. But what's this eternal life He's speaking of? How do we get that eternal life? How are we made like Christ and be conformed to His image? Look here in John 10, verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. He gives it. It's a gift. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. We've been made alive to know Him. We've been given eternal life in Him. And we'll never perish. And it can't change. No man can pluck us out of His hand. Is that good news? We're not spiritually dead no more. I'm not a dead man. I have life. He gave it to me, and it ain't going to go away. Because His hand's mighty, and I'll be kept in it. That's something to hang your hat on. That's a nail in a sure place. Those alive spiritually, we know about our sin. That's why that's so sweet to us. We know what sin is in the eyes of the Almighty God. Turn to Romans 7. We looked at parts of this morning. Maybe a good review. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Is it bad? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. It was ignored. I had no knowledge of it. And then this law came. For I was alive without the law once. Physically I was alive, but spiritually dead. He thought he was alive. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I found out I was spiritually dead. How would I know that? How would I know I was spiritually dead? I was made alive. I can feel something now. I can hear that wind blowing. Feel the heat of God's wrath behind that law. Made aware of it. Made alive. Look in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He knows that. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. We're led to verse 24, someone that has spiritual life. Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Those alive spiritually know we were dead under that law. We know we have no hope. But thanks be to God, we know that law was given to point us to Christ, to be our schoolmaster. And it shuts us up before God and makes us know that we're dead. I looked at that law and I said, I can't do that. Death's coming. Whoever breaks that law must die. Look here in verse 19. I'm sorry, Romans 3. I'm a whole couple of chapters off. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then what do we declare? Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We have a desire now. If we know him, we know who we are. We know we're made alive by him, given eternal life by him. We have a desire to declare Christ's righteousness, not our own. Don't look at what I did. Look what he did. Those alive spiritually have a desire for the holiness of Christ. We'll look over in Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's our desire. Those that are spiritually alive, be made conformed to him. Those alive, spiritually alive, experience true repentance and true sorrow as well. Jeremiah told us, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. We know we didn't just break the law. We know we sinned against him. We know who we've broken the law. Whose law we've broken. Those lives spiritually truly pray. We bow down before the Lord, and we do it often. We come begging, wanting his will to be done and forgiveness for our sins, don't we? Paul wrote to that church in Thessalonica. He said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. What's that mean? All day. Happens all the time. That's constant communion, isn't it? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If the Lord gives us spiritual life, we walk through the world thinking, that's all right. The Lord sent this to me. I stubbed my toe on the sidewalk. The Lord had that for his glory and my good. Somebody may look at you and say, well, I want to know what he knows. I want to know who she knows. But we pray. Those made spiritual alive pray. Truly pray. Remember whenever Ananias, the Lord spoke to him, said, get up. One of my sheep's down there, and you're going to go help him. Oh, Saul of Tarsus. And he said, Lord, I've heard of him. He's got warrants out for us. He persecutes the church. You sure you want me going down there? Remember what the Lord told Ananias? He said, you go get him down on that street called Straight. He said, for behold, he prayeth. Ananias said, all right, I'll go down there. It wasn't some vain prayer. It wasn't some repetitious prayer. It wasn't out loud, probably. Everybody could hear him. He prayed to God. True prayer. Those lives spiritually are filled with meekness and humbleness. We know that our nature, what our true nature is in the eyes of God, and we esteem our brethren higher than ourselves. Like Mike had read to us earlier there in Philippians 2. What a way to be. When we see ourselves as the chief of sinners, it's easy to look up to anybody else, isn't it? If I'm the chief of sinners, ain't nobody lower than me. You ever read that? Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. You want to pat him on the head and be like, I know you feel that way, but get out of here. That ain't true. I am. Somebody else that's Christ says, well, that's cute, Kevin, but I know I am. We're all arguing over who's lowest, ain't we? That's life. Christ put that in us to be that way. And those alive spiritually have a genuine love for Christ and for His people. There in 1 John 3, and I'll wrap this up. 1 John 3:14. We know, we have assurance, we have a confidence. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Spiritually, godly, truly love the brethren. Here's the proof of the new birth. If we love those that Christ loved. Satan can counterfeit knowledge. That's what he approached our master with in the garden. Come with him with scriptures, didn't he? Satan can counterfeit outward righteousness, coming as that angel of light, appearing to us. He ain't some guy on a bar stool down there trying to get you to do something bad. He's a clean-cut guy that lives cleaner than I do. He can counterfeit emotionalism. Oh, make you feel good, make you feel sad. Do all those things. But he can't counterfeit love because he doesn't know anything of it. The God of love is the one that loves and shows us how to love, puts that love in us. I ask you, were you dead spiritually? Did the Spirit come through the preaching of the gospel to you and give you life? Give you ears to hear, eyes to see, make you understand these things, make you feel, truly feel Him? Do you love Christ for it? If that's happened, you give Him praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. If so, you know you've passed from death into life. And it's eternal. And it ain't going to go away. That's what gets me through the week. I hope I can remember that till we get back here Wednesday. It makes it a little easier to go to the grocery store, don't it? They're out of my favorite drink. They don't have pasta. That's all right. I'm alive. And it ain't going away. We'll be here forever, won't it? Be with Him. Be perfect. You got to worship Him. See Him as He is. Be made like Him. Oh, boy, that's something. Amen.